Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everyone, to a way overdue mad flavor of blurry hysteria. Mr. Cogswell, welcome back to the fold.
Thanks, boys. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. It's been a while. Your incarceration was swift, but not long, so that's okay.
They let me out after I bit too many of the fellow prisoners. It's been good.
That's a thing?
It's been good on my teeth. Damn, too, man. That's the way I sharpen my fangs.
It's frowned upon, like masturbating on an airplane. You guys know how those things go.
That's what I went in for. It's going great. Well, yeah, no, thanks, guys. I'm super excited to be back. Life has just been a complete shit show, I think is the medical term for what it's been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been crazy. Finally in the new place with an actual like little nook to record in. So pretty excited.
Yeah, you were moving for like the 19th time in 4 months. So
man,
that's not quite true, but it feels right in my head.
Graduate school of any kind is not good for having like a stable home life. Just not good.
I noticed on my second PhD that it really kicked in that way for me as well. I don't know about you, David.
It's always that second one that kills you, man. It's always that second one.
Well, we are here. Not only to celebrate the fact that it's Mad Blurry Hysteria once again, but on Tuesday, May 17th, Congress held its first public hearing on UFOs in more than half a century. So we're not doing our weird stories like we usually do. We're doing one weird story: UFOs, UAPs, and Congress. All three of those things, well, two are the same. They're very weird. U.S. intelligence officials Scott Bray and Ronald Moultrie and members of Congress on both sides of the political aisle, for once, came together to talk unexplained aerial phenomenon, UAPs, because UFOs is a no-no term, it turns out now. So this was specifically House Intelligence Counterterrorism, Counterintelligence, and Counterproliferation Subcommittee, also known as the C3. They held an open hearing and a closed hearing on unidentified aerial phenomenon, followed by said closed classified briefing that we were not allowed to dip into. But the open portion of the hearing was live streamed on YouTube via many different channels. And if you go to the link in the show notes, there is one if you want to watch it. Chris and I were talking about this before the show started and before you were on here. It was funny. There was a several. He's like, it's the first time I ever watched the C-SPAN YouTube channel. Because a lot of them were like, they're throwing in like rock music in the background when it's starting and everyone's talking and stuff. It was a lot of people were really excited for this. Did you find that, Chris?
Yeah, it's been insanity, you know, UFO Twitter losing its goddamn mind.
Well, that's called a Tuesday, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not really that crazy, but yeah, I mean, you know, I had my uncle who's, you know, basically a Super Mario brother called me and was like, Chris, they talk aliens. It's going to be great.
It's crazy,
man. So he was like, you know, he was all excited, and yeah, it's been interesting though. I mean,
hey, Chris, so you think of this as a Lakitu and a cloud or what?
You idiot!
Spiky turtles.
Yeah, it's like getting into it and on these YouTube channels too, like some of them were playing, yeah, like rock music at the beginning. It's like, you know, the congressional alien time is fucking finally here, assholes. Get ready. Hold your
butt. Welcome to C-SPAN. You get the entire screen, but you only need the ears.
Dude, yeah. And then it comes in and it's like, you know, Adam Schiff picking his nose, being like, you know, so do we have
Malcolm,
any.
Malcolm, is everyone here?
Yeah. It's crazy. It was absolutely crazy, right? Working? But it's pretty exciting though. There was some really cool stuff there. Some real shade thrown at some of the people.
Oh man, yeah. It was kind of the back and forth, and for once it wasn't across the aisle. It was so real quick, just to get everyone up to speed, they addressed the need to protect aviators and to ensure adversaries hadn't developed breakthrough weapons. But they stressed that they had nothing that would suggest it's anything non-terrestrial in origin. And they cautioned against conspiracy theories. Then they kind of went against that, which I'll get into later on. What did we learn from this? In a nutshell, not fucking much.
No, unless you're already, you know, elbows deep into UFO stuff, mm-hmm. you didn't learn a whole lot.
It's not comforting, but it's also not surprising, was it to you?
Did
you?
No, not yet? Really. I mean, there was some interesting stuff there. So, mm-hmm. for example, there's stuff in. So we learned things from what they didn't or wouldn't say. And we also learned things from their responses to some questions.
Right.
You know, so we had, for example, there were questions. I mean, first off, we learned that they don't know how to work VLC media player.
You know, is this the slide we're looking for? You went past it.
Jesus Christ, that up, man.
Like, honestly, as a page or whatever, you got to learn that shit. Like, that happens in every courtroom and every one of these hearings.
I was waiting for Clicky to come up. I was like, it looks like you're trying to address Congress. It needs some help.
It was
help.
Crazy. It was one of those situations where if you were in the room, you would have screamed, like, get away from the computer! And just would have done it yourself. It was just crazy, right? But some of the stuff, like, it was interesting. I think most people were pretty... So first off, you're watching it, and you know, one of the first things that happens is in the original or in the opening remarks by Andre Carson, he mentions MUFON and Jeremy Corbell, mm-hmm. and you know, and so you're just sitting there like, ah, shit, yep. This isn't gonna go great, you know. Mm. But then, like, one of the first things that they do. Bray shows this video that Corbell put out of a triangle, you know, what he claimed were triangular craft. Mm-hmm. And Mick West, of course, was like, it's bokeh. It's just the way that the camera lens picks up the light. Mm-hmm. You know, they show that video and they're like, hey, by the way, this is bokeh. Mick West is right. And like, you know, skeptical Twitter, the confetti came down from the ceiling and people were like, oh shit.
Well, it was interesting. You know? So they asked him, did you, in that specific one, I was like, have you researched this? Like, no, but other independent people have. Then after that, Ben Hansen was like, yeah, that was me. I used my night vision goggles and did like a real cheap thing that I could easily debunk it. But I really want the government to be like, yeah, we did this ourselves. We didn't take it off of some dude off of Twitter.
Well, the thing is that though, but that's the thing, right? Is that was the way that Twitter took it. But it's not just that, right? The camera manufacturers do studies like this all the time.
But they didn't say that they did that. They referenced his specific research into it.
They didn't specifically say it was him. They said that what they said was that they have seen other studies.
Okay, let me put it this way. He said that it was specifically him.
Ben did.
So the other thing though is that there was a portion of this that I thought was the part that I found to be the most interesting, at least, was the part the questions from So first off, there were insane questions from Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin, Republican from Wisconsin, which I mean,
I don't think they were insane. I think they were direct and pointed, which showed that they had no idea what they were even talking about. But
see, now that's interesting, right? The way that I viewed it was they were dismissive. Not that they had no idea what they were talking about, that they were dismissive of UFO mythology.
Well, I don't know that that's mythology, right? Because if you look at, so what we're talking about real quick, we're getting a little bit ahead, but so this, the Malmstrom Air Force Base UFO missile incident, it's back in 67, 10 nuclear missiles deactivated by UAP or a red glowing orb, whatever you want to call it. The commander of the flight told Congress of the incident. Members have said that they didn't know about it and they only had anecdotal information. The data was not within the holdings of the UAP task force, but That's kind of total bullshit because the intelligence information reports were written and submitted about the incident, and they've been released through the Freedom of Information Act. So there has at least been intelligence reports on that. As you said, Mike Oliver pressed them. He said, high-vis incident out there about this in the ether, and reports are available. How do you not look into this? And they responded that it had not been officially brought to their attention. And Gallagher responded with, how would it be officially brought to your attention? I'm bringing it to your attention. This is pretty official. They yeah. said some which authority kind of, figure would which, need to request it.
Yeah, well, which was sort of funny. So the way that I saw that, or the way that I heard that, was basically it was not of official interest to anyone bringing them information.
And that point. Is total bullshit, though, because there's Freedom of Information Act that looked into it that shows that they've already researched this.
Right. But they also researched like Roswell, right? And Blue Book and these other things. That's what I'm saying. But I think that they said that
nothing that happened before 2004 are they looking into.
Yes. I think that they put all of that stuff right now into the same bucket as Roswell. That's what I'm saying.
Do you like that approach that the world started in 2004 and all that money that ATIP and everything else had our taxpayers' money went into then is just thrown in the floor and these guys that they acted like they'd never even heard of these things? Like,
I think it comes down to a later answer that they gave, right? So there was a question from Darren LaHood, a Republican from Illinois,
mm-hmm.
who asked he said, quote, so obviously this topic of UAPs has attracted a lot of interest in people that are curious about this hearing today. As we talk about, and I would say there's a lot of what I call amateur interest groups that are involved in the UAP field. My question is, when there are unsubstantiated claims or manufactured claims of UAPs or kind of false information that's put out there, what are the consequences for people that are involved with that or groups that are involved with that? And so Moultrie responded, quote, so one of the concerns that we have is that there are a lot of individuals and groups that are putting information out there that could be considered to be somewhat self-serving. We're trying to do what's in the best interest of, one, the Department of Defense, and two, what's in the best interest of the public to ensure that we can put factual-based information back into the mainstream and back into the bloodstream of the reporting media that we have.
So you know who
understand
that,
what's there.
You know who that shade was thrown at.
Oh, that's, 100% thrown at Lou Elizondo and Bigelow and all of the crazy UFO
The TTSA that, well, I would even put it more on the, even less Elizondo, but more on the Bigelow and those cats that are very much self-serving.
Yeah. So what they say here, this is the final part of the quote here that I think is interesting here. And anything that diverts us off of what we have with the resources that have been allocated to us sends us off in the spurious chases and hurts and hunts that are just not helpful. But, and they also help that, well, they also contribute to the undermining of the confidence that the Congress and the American people have that we are trying to get to the root cause of what's happening here, report on that, and then feed that back into our national security apparatus. So the way I almost viewed this was, and this is kind of what we've heard from them too in background and everything else, is look, there's a tremendous amount of UFO history and mythology out there. A lot of that has been completely tainted by other groups and other narratives coming in and then the media running with it and whatever.
But how do they know that unless these people specifically looked into it? Because they didn't say they've looked into any of it.
But what other data is there?
What,
right?
What,
if all they have is this
1,000 points of data that they said they'd never even heard of it.
If all they have, though, is the anecdotal report from a single person.
But we know that's not true because Freedom of Information Act says that's not true.
We know that's not true in this case, right? So that's one that they should be looking at, right? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, there are cases that they should be looking at that have more information than this, right? Or that have, there are cases that they should be looking at there. But I think the issue is, like, what they're trying to do, essentially, as far as I can understand it, is base their study on sensor data, on witness testimony, if it exists, and also on other data that maybe is out there. So they're trying to go for three approaches, right? Or kind of a three-pronged strategy, it seems to me. In cases like this from the past, it's really hard to have the same standards in place of study and understanding, right? Like when you start a study of something, when you start a study, a new scientific study, to look at a new type of phenomenon or a new type of sociological phenomenon or whatever, you don't go back 100 years into the data to use data that other people collected, right? You have to start collecting your own data usually.
Right.
Do you believe that they're doing the scientific stuff?
Hold on. Do you believe these two guys, which are the bolt? That's it. These are the guys are using the scientific method and looking into these things.
What two guys? Just to catch me.
Bray and Moultrie.
Okay.
I think you're giving them a lot of credit where I don't know if the credit's due or not, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
So all I can say,
hold on, David, did you have something?
Yeah, go ahead, Flora. Sorry.
We're arguing.
No, I mean, I'm with Chris on this. Like it, the farther back you go, the less I think, the less you can count on whatever they did, because you would at least hope that, things have tightened up and controls have gotten a little bit better as the years progress. Whereas, you know, if you go with Project Blue Book or something, these guys were showing up to people's houses saying, "What'd you see? Okay, that sounds crazy. We'll write it down, but you're crazy. Bye," kind of thing. Okay. And kind of dismissive of that. Mm-hmm. You would hope that they've maybe picked a time to where they're like, okay, we've got at least better controls in these experiments and the data that we can rely more on. Maybe they're not perfect, but they're probably better than what was done in the 60s and 70s.
Right, but here's my thing. We know that Blue Book ended then. We know that ATIP came much later. We also know they didn't stop looking into these things. They just told us they did. And the only information that we have is what they've given out. So we're assuming they didn't do the due diligence, but I don't know if that's the truth or not, because we don't know the truth. I think that's the problem in most of these things in my mind, is we can't take what's said at face value of anything that the intelligence community gives us.
See, so, but that's the challenge, though, right?
I think that's a different argument, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge here, right, is that, and this is the kind of interesting thing, right? Again, I'm not naive enough to think that they're telling us everything in these hearings, right? But on the other hand, you have for years now UFO people claiming, if we give the intelligence field a chance, if we work with them, if we make them do this stuff, they're going to come forward with this information. It's going to be great, whatever. Like, I don't think we should be getting answers about this from the government in the first place, right? This is not, I don't think that it's the kind of thing that fits in, like, you know, I think I said it on Facebook, like, you don't have a religious experience in the DMV, right? Like, I don't think you're going to get answers about these sorts of cosmic questions from a government hearing. But if we're to trust Elizondo, and if we're to trust these other people, that the intelligence community is going to give this, you know, if we give it a chance, it's going to work, whatever. Because they want to be with the intelligence community doing this, right? Elizondo desperately wants to be back in this field doing this kind of stuff, it seems to me. Then if they come out and say, this is what we have, right? And they even said in this hearing that they consider what they're doing now the first serious effort to investigate this of any kind that the government has done, right? That's what they consider. This is the first serious investigation of any kind. And they mentioned that there are when they answered Gallagher, they mentioned there are anecdotal stories, there are individual cases where something seems to have happened that maybe someone in government has investigated, but it's never been formalized, it's never been standardized, it's never been done in a systemic way.
Do you really believe that?
I mean, what else? Either we believe in conspiracy theories that know they're lying to us again, or we take them at their word. Like, at what point do them coming forward? Like, I guess what I'm saying is,
all right, Brent, then I'll say this. I don't believe them. And so I'll take that conspiracy.
Yeah.
So I do not believe that they, I do not believe. Go ahead, Dave.
The biggest takeaway, though, is that I think it's moving us in the right direction, at least.
I hope so.
Like, it's at least getting, well, yeah, it's getting more mainstream with talking about it, which I think is the only thing we can really hope to get out of this.
That's important, right? I was watching Brent. Before late night on the late night shows before this, like on Monday, and they're like, and tomorrow they're going to be talking before Congress, and the crowd's laughing and snickering and ha ha ha. That's still the position of most people on these things. At least I said, I liked that they said in this that they wanted to move away from that and make it a real thing. But they also said they're going to work with civilian organizations, and I hope they will. I don't know if they will.
Is that code for MUFON then?
It seems almost certainly like right? That's code for MUFON.
That's who they mentioned. Like, they mentioned
the Galileo Project and these other kind of, you know, the thing that's interesting, I think, is one of the things that was really interesting to me in this was they were really careful to say there's not like there are special UAP sensors we have, right? We just have sensors that collect data. Mm-hmm. So, you know, part of this is like, what are we supposed to do? Just release all of our intelligence capabilities to the world because
right, they can't.
100 people.
Yeah,
right. Like 100 people out of 1,000 want to know if we've seen aliens. Like, no, we haven't. Stop being dumb, right? Like that's part of that kind of, I think, like, I honestly think it's still pretty dismissive kind of what they're saying in some ways. But then also too, like, if I had my druthers, they like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you had asked us 10 years ago, if we had done this 10 years ago and we had said in 10 years, would you want there to be another government effort to study UFOs? I wouldn't have said yes. Yeah. Right. And that's been my whole, like, that's been the whole thing that we've been saying against like Elizondo and them. It's like, I don't want the government to collect data on UFOs and shit. Like, I don't think it's a government thing.
But when they're buzzing their planes and their ships and they're following them and stuff, you don't think that
they like they're going be. To. But the whole well, like the whole reason that you don't the whole reason, Brent, for example, that like you don't trust them to do this is because you think that in the past the government has used control of this narrative and this story.
The government in the past has poisoned people, has killed people, has literally injected our own people. These aren't conspiracy theories. But
at the same time.
These are
at the same time, they're kind of the ultimate authority on this, right? Not in sense of knowledge about it, but in the sense that if the government says there's aliens, and then I think we all have to kind of accept that, right?
But it's just it's such a weird thing, though, right? It's kind of like, because like Brent, I agree with you, right? Like I 100% agree with you. All that shit happened. The way like Marie and I talk about it on the show all the time. It's almost like when. Like punk rock culture got co-opted by the Banana Republic to become Hot Topic,
mm-hmm.
right? Like it's kind of the same thing, right? Like the government
by the literal store Banana Republic.
Yes, like the you know it's this is like Hollister selling you know I don't know
Abercrombie stuff.
Yeah, like it's this. The whole history has been don't trust the government. They're not good actors on this. They lie. They intimidate people. They do all this other stuff. Whatever. And then one government guy comes out and is like, I believe in UFOs. And UFO Twitter is like, oh, you know, control me, daddy. Let's do this. Right. Like, it's crazy.
Which is interesting because Chris actually has control me, daddy, as a lower back tattoo.
Yeah. Tattooed on me right now. Yeah. I love it. You know, it's a very interesting kind of switch that's happened here. And so, you know, do I think that this group of people is going to find answers about this? Like, fuck no, dude. Of course they're not. It's not an answer that it's not a question that has an answer until fucking aliens come down and are like, what's up, man?
Well, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a grand gesture for even if what David just said.
That's what I'm saying.
If they came forward and said it's true, well, we would need
that's
to believe
what
them.
We've all been kind of waiting
but
for,
then
right?
Would you,
like, that's the ultimate... that's the ultimate confirmation.
But people don't believe everybody. What the government tells them anyway. So, right.
It's a paradox, right?
It's a self-fulfilling
prophecy,
right?
It makes me
right?
angry because when they say, trust us, we're the government, my inner things start twitching like, no. You know, let's do this. Let's go to break real quick. When we come back, let's argue some more because it's fun. It's coming up after the break on Mad Blurry Hysteria. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know? If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For a very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete your 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
So they said a lot of things. One of the ones that I liked that really caught me is just some of the talking points they were talking about. They said, what about USOs? And they said, we'll talk about that in the closed session.
That is something interesting. You know, there's aliens in the water. They're hanging out with Nessie. That was exciting stuff.
The problem was there was a lot of that. We'll talk about in the closed session. And I guess the, you know, like you said, if you got your druther, who you would love to be a fly on the wall, but you know, this also isn't really, they're not, they didn't shut the doors and go, okay, we got the sheeple out of here. Everyone disrobe, put your key in here. We're all going to go have sex with the insert whatever alien race.
You guys ever seen the movie The Abyss?
Yeah.
Get in here.
There's nothing like that. I thought what was kind of crazy, so Krishnamurthy had some really good questions, I thought, too, right? Asking, like, just directed things, right? Have we had a collision? Have we ever shot guns at these things?
Right.
Have we ever tried to say to them, like, hey, we're humans?
Well, they said they've never even tried to communicate with them, which
which is nuts.
I mean,
you always kind of, always hail them, right? Like, even Star Trek, it's
That was actually, it was funny. When I was hearing that questioning in my head, I was like, I don't know that much about like being a fighter pilot, obviously, right? Like, you
it's
know, my
just
doctor
like Star
can
Trek.
Attest to that. Yeah, but
like.
Exactly, right? Like, I was like, isn't it like Star Trek? Like, don't they like shoot them, you know?
Don't open they a shoot channel them to a, communication.
A hail? Yeah.
I felt like maybe Bray and Moultrie weren't exactly ready for this. They did a lot of looking at one another. Like, what do I say?
Well,
you know what I mean? And I get it because there was a lot of, well, but hey, Moultrie's on our side. He goes to sci-fi conventions, yuck, 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 and he doesn't always dress up, you know?
Right.
The other thing
that was kind of interesting,
they said that,
though,
for those that didn't watch it, trying to, I guess, humanize him, but it just came off as, like, pandering and dumb.
Yeah. The other thing that came up here, too, was, that was kind of interesting, was they asked if they had any wreckage, and they specifically said, any wreckage we've ever seen is terrestrial.
Yeah.
We can tell it's terrestrial, right? And that was kind of, I think, the more... That's, like, coming away from this, too, like, I don't know. When I came away from this, and I'm biased, right? Because, like, you know, I'm biased. I'm skeptical of this stuff.
You've been
I don't
in
think
the
weeds the
government with this.
Should be involved in this necessarily, like, whatever, right? Just because, I think that this is more of, like, a psychic, religious-type phenomenon, maybe.
Wait, what?
So Flora, it's funny actually. So my view on this has really shifted, I guess I'd say, over time, right? When I first got involved in this, I thought for sure that this was like a physical thing. Rather, there are shifts coming here, maybe we should be able to analyze them, whatever. Today, I'm kind of more on the side of like, not that necessarily there's like psychic powers or whatever out there, but more that like this is a this seems to be a subjective experience.
So are you gonna go out in the fucking desert and make them appear
with
type
stuff. Oh, I did peyote. I already did peyote. It's happened already, right?
A
no.
Button
no, but
for
but
me?
Seriously though, like I don't know. Like I kind of think that if this is a real thing, there might be craft out there or whatever. Clearly we're seeing stuff happen that they can't explain sometimes, but they said they had 11 near misses on our aircraft. Like that's effing crazy, right?
What does that mean?
Like almost that, collisions, like literally, like they had to do maneuvers to not get hit.
Yes.
Or they were buzzed so close that, like, you know, it was considered.
They shot themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Which is super interesting, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And the other thing, but still, though, you know, this is it's the most interesting stuff, I don't think, and the stuff that makes this so interesting to me, at least, is not the stuff that's going to come from. Again, a government censor someplace, right? Like, I want to hear people's stories, dude. People have weird shit happen to them. That's fascinating. I know what the answer is, but that's the stuff I'm interested in.
Well,
right?
There's plenty of that out there. I don't begrudge anyone for going down that road. And we got a lot of people that are doing that. But I also don't, when it is in our skies, I think that they have a duty to look at real quick. I want to talk on one thing too. They talked about in the thing was blue force or blue on blue, which was a term you know, some people might not know about.
Very
so
police-y.
If you go watch it, blue force means like friendly technology. We are allies have developed. They said that during the meeting, these are not a blue force technology. What they're seeing that they can't describe yet is not ours, even secret. And it's not from our allies, but they also say it's not adversarial technology. That's an interesting
It's stuff that is doing stuff that nobody can do.
Right. And remember, they said China and Russia have UAP programs and are looking into the same things. So they're like, in summation, it's not ours. It's not from our allies. And it's not from our adversaries. So what the hell is it? Well, you know, if that's true, they have no idea. That's scary.
That was the other interesting thing, though, if you're kind of more on the skeptical side. When they... someone asked about, I think it was a Krishnamurti. Someone asked about what exactly do you mean when you say that these are mostly physical objects? Like, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
Because they keep saying it's mostly physical objects. And what Bray kind of came out and said essentially was, most represent physical objects, but there are some that maybe are meteorological phenomena, that might be a sensor error, that might be .. Right. So that's the other part of this that's kind of hard to, like, they're using very technical language that I don't think means what we necessarily
that in the could totally put you in the weeds when they say mostly like that, and yes, you start exactly. thinking like, oh, was there this or that and the other? You're like, no, I meant like
exactly. So they're almost like it seems to me that what they're trying to do with this, really, and that was one of the interesting parts too, was Darren LaHood asked, what are the consequences for people spreading misinformation about national security issues like this? Mm-hmm. You know, which kind of like, again, if you listen to our show, if you listen to me talk, you know, rant on this show, that's what we've been saying since day one, is like, be fucking careful what you wish for, UFO right. community, because yeah. you're going to get government involved and they're going to be like, hey, you probably shouldn't
Shut
be
up.
Lying
yeah.
about national security shit on the fucking History Channel. Right. So that was kind of interesting. Right. Have there been legal consequences for this? Should there be legal consequences for lying about national security issues? That came up here, and I think it's honestly going to be taken fairly seriously, potentially.
Of course, then they're going to have to prove that they're lying, and so that opens up a whole new can of worms. But then you got the government, like in the 90s, when people are getting sick out at Area 51, and the government just goes, well, we're not going to testify. You're wrong. We're not telling you why. Go ahead and die.
Well, that's the interesting thing, though, right? If they have, for example, like now this video that they put out that said, this is bokeh, this is camera distortions or whatever, right? If Corbell then goes out and says, no, that's bullshit, these are triangular UFOs that we can't explain with our national security apparatus and are a threat to our national security, right? At what point does that stop being just someone being an idiot to it being like yelling fire in a crowded theater?
Right. And I'm all for the powers that be that we know are full of BS. You can insert whoever in your mind you think that is, and you're right or wrong. It doesn't matter. I'm all for that, because there's too many people profiteering. And also the problem is, like they talked about to me, or this is what I worry about, and I'd love to hear what you guys think, when they said, we're going to start working with civilian organizations. As soon as someone gets in on it, then they're in on it and they don't share any of their information. And I feel like a lot of these organizations just like, I want to be in on the secret and I'm not going to share it. And I don't think that's the answer to this issue. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't, you know, they mentioned in the hearing, they mentioned how important like transparency is for all this, you know, and that's something I think is definitely true. You know, light is the best disinfectant. It's the best way of transparency is a good way of stamping down conspiracy theory and misinformation from spreading.
Right. Because it's either lack of transparency or incompetence. And you hope you don't know which it is.
And at least if it's incompetence, there's a trail. Incompetence leaves a trail. You know what I mean? if for example, we look at the cases that they investigated or whatever and find that they haven't looked at, you know, the vast majority of interesting cases that people are maybe interested in, that might be something to look at. But that's another part of this I think is really a real risk here, is not just them, like in any study, garbage in gives you garbage out, you know? So if they're working with groups like MUFON, or if they're looking at these old cases that have all this mythology around it or whatever, that's part of, again, to go back to that answer earlier, I think that's partly why they are trying to be so careful and build standards of evidence for what gets even looked at. And they mentioned that too at the end. A congressman from Vermont asked that kind of question, like, how do you keep to good data that's not, you know, crazy and whatever. You know, if they're not really careful about what they bring into the study, and then it doesn't matter what they release to the public anyways, because whatever they release is going to be garbage, because garbage came in. It's based on garbage, you know? So that, I don't know. That's my take on it. Like, I do think they need to, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well,
it's hard.
Moultrie said they're open to all to to any and all hypotheses. And he said, I enjoy the challenge of what may be out there. How far yeah. out there? We don't know. It's an interesting way.
Do you guys think that the extraterrestrials have already invaded the government? And that's why we keep sliding into like this fascist hellscape.
I like that Flora is always there to really ground us. You know,
oh, let really me bring good. You boys back down here.
It's really good. That's the funny thing with this shit, right? Is, you know, again, even if the government did come out and say, like, yeah, we have aliens, we've been talking to a man, like, you know, here's one right now. There would be people like, hey, Alex Jones would be on the fucking radio saying it's a false flag, right? That alien's a paid actor. You know, for the people that are spreading their kind of self-serving stories, like they mentioned, this hearing, like the government getting involved in this and becoming a place where there's maybe useful information on this, that really hurts them. And maybe not in the way that, like, again, UFO conventions are going to happen regardless, right? The History Channel is going to keep pumping out crap. Like, that stuff's going to keep happening.
Hell, we spoke at one.
They had us. That's fucking crazy. But, you know, what'll happen, I think, is like what happens with other scientific studies or scientific ideas that become mainstream before they were, right? So, like, bird watching is actually kind of a funny case like this. Bird watching and naturalism in general used to be something that, like, kids did with their mothers and their nannies in the Victorian era, you know? And so it used to be really accessible and something that a lot of people did and everything else. And then it became a serious science. And suddenly it was, of course, like all male dominated, because at the time that was what science looked like, right? It was old white dudes.
At the time,
still today, right. You know, that is, so it's kind of an interesting thing. Like, again, I think the idea of like UFO disclosure, the idea of like getting these answers from the government, it's the dog chasing the car, right? They finally caught it now. And I don't think it's going to be what they want. It's
not, well, that's the point. And then, like you said, they could say exactly in your mind what you want to hear, and you're still going to go, I don't know, you know, or really, it's the government. There's no right answer to what it is, because it is the government. And for lack of a better word, we're all gun shy, or should be. And so that's an acceptable thing. And I don't know. And I like what you said. You don't love that the government is involved, but then the outside players haven't been really great either. So what's the answer? That's servitude to our alien overlords, I think, is the only answer.
Yeah. That's what I was saying earlier. It's the ultimate double-edged sword, is the government is the ultimate authority on it, and you want them to say, yes, this is true. You want them to say what you want to hear, but at the same time, they don't have a great track record of being trustworthy. And then, so let's say they do say, yes, aliens are real. Then you're like, great. That's what everybody's been waiting for. What else are you hiding? You know, when does
because
it stop?
Well, then you've been lying to us for how long? That's the next logical thing. And everyone goes, and rinse and repeat for all eternity. That's why I said, or who said, I don't know which one of you said it, it wasn't me, that we need the grandiose, landing on the proverbial White House lawn thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to be satisfied until I see JFK's head.
In a jar.
That's what people...
Or Nixon be elected president of Earth.
Well, that was the other interesting thing, right, is if you followed the social media chatter on this... People really wanted, and like I even engaged in some of this because it was pretty funny, right? But, you know, people wanted at the end of it for them to be like, UFO Twitter wins, skeptics get fucked, right? Or the other way, right? Skeptics win, UFO Twitter get fucked. Like, that's what people wanted to happen. And of course, that's not what happened. They gave a little bit for UFO Twitter to be happy about, a little bit for skeptics to be happy about.
I thought what happened was exactly what I anticipated. Which was not much, but a dangling of a carrot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, very, you know,
not
very
much,
little...
but at least there's a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? And I think at the end of the day, what we probably will learn from this task force is going to be very little because, like you said, Flora, although the government becomes the government, when they put government money towards something, it becomes real. It makes it more real. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that misinformation doesn't keep spreading.
Right.
And, and honestly, in the world of the internet, I don't even think that they're like the government is not there being a single source of information. That's like no longer true. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the government's been funding research into climate change for 40 years now. You know what I mean? There's still huge portions of the electorate that don't believe in it. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, you know,
you said going back to what the first part you said, you know, you don't think a lot will come of this. I don't think we'll know a lot from this. I don't know that a lot won't come from this. That's why they do closed door sessions and things.
No,
like
yeah,
that.
That's true. That's true.
But, you know, at least for the first time in 50 years, we're talking about it. So yeah. There is that, you know, we can't overlook at least that little bit right there.
Yeah. One thing I do want to say to you before we close off here is because I feel like, you know, I'm doing the Midwest goodbye thing where we keep coming to a good point where we'll end. And then I'm like, yeah, but anyways, you know, the Mike Gallagher introduced into the record the Wilson notes.
Yeah, that
Wilson
was BS. Davis notes. Yeah.
You know,
so now like, there's all sorts of alien autopsies and things now are in the official record.
That stuff is like pure conspiracy dumpster fire fodder. Mm. Like that's crazy, right? That I think is the real risk here. And that's why, you know, again, they're like that, like the Wilson, listen, bring Eric Davis to the fucking Congress and make him testify under oath in front of the American people. Like, let's do it.
Right.
If we're going to do this, let's do this, right? Get Stephen Greer, get all the UFO people to come in front of this committee and testify about what they know and what they don't know. Right.
Well, like,
that is hilarious. I think it would be a great idea. Let's do it.
Speaking of Rep. Tim Burchett from Burchett, I don't know how to say his name.
Oh, yeah.
From Tennessee. He said it's a cover up by the military. And the only thing he learned is that the cover up will continue.
Yeah.
So guess what? We learned a nothing. We're all still, I don't think we changed our minds in any way, shape, or form off of this other than got angry at the fact that they did exactly what we thought they were going to do.
God bless America.
So thank you guys for listening. This has been Mad Blurry Hysteria once again, and we will see you next time.
Meeting adjourned.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.